Hello, Jules fans, and welcome back to Jules and the Blood Injury Time podcast. Slightly different format this week. The first part is going to be recorded by myself and Boz.
Morning.
And then the second part is going to be recorded later on with me and Rachel, with this week's topic in mind, which is football trips. Before we start, you've just heard his delicate tones. He's stayed up after a long night shift, bless him. Good morning, Boz.
Morning.
How are you doing?
All right, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. A very festive headquarters now, isn't it?
Yeah, I was hoping we were going to mention it, yeah.
Yeah, looks very festive in here. Had a dainty little moment, the two of us, the other day. erecting our tree.
Erecting the tree together.
Yeah, you started off the Christmas proceedings by putting some tinsel around our framed Jules shirt.
Yeah, that was as far as I got.
Yeah, and it looks very festive in here.
Yeah, we need a bit more tinsel. I'm going to get a couple more bits of tinsel.
And the lights near enough give you an epileptic fit.
Yeah, as I sent it to someone at work and they said, brilliant, I'm not coming around, I'm going to have a fit. Yeah. What else have we got up? We've got some little Christmas decorations. A couple of snowflakes.
Yeah, you're a snowflake.
Yeah, I mean, that's coming. You're so excited, you put a sign up, so now he sleeps, it's till Christmas.
Yeah, which we haven't changed. And a bit like the name in the frame, once Saint goes up in this house, it doesn't tend to get changed.
Like the fact orange sunglasses have been up on that cabinet for about 4 months now.
Yeah, that is true. I am surprised, actually, that the clock is the right time.
I know, I worked out how to change it, haven't I?
But yeah, our sign currently says 19, sleeps till Christmas, but I don't.
It's definitely less than that.
Anyway, so it's the morning after the day before, after the Sunderland game, which was just absolutely bloody amazing.
It's definitely up there, one of the more memorable games I've been to.
I love it as well when Matt's doing the match day live, when he manages to catch a goal and our celebrations and...
I've been trying to screenshot. I've only got one half decent one so far. Trying to screenshot some of our reactions.
But I saw this morning that Phil Parkinson basically felt that they deserved something from the game, which was an absolute joke.
Wrong, isn't he?
But they didn't offer anything. They had, other than the disallowed goal, they had the Charlie White shot, which trickled just wide. But other than that, they didn't. I can't remember Bonham having to make a save. So
he made one, didn't he?
Yeah.
Matt wasn't paying attention. Matt was, I don't know what he was doing. He was moaning about something down our end, I think. But no, one of the rare occasions where he wasn't paying attention.
Jesus.
They got the ball down the left. I think it was cut back to the edge of the area. I mean, it was a comfortable height, but Bonham's done really well to make the save. Again, like you say, it's probably the only thing he's done, other than claim a couple of crosses.
Well, very good performance from us yet again.
Jack Tucker, brilliant again.
Has Will Grigg in his pocket for a second home game.
The other one, we didn't really know he was on, did we?
No.
He had one little argument with Fuller, didn't he? When Fuller went to take the throw and he pushed away his hands.
Yeah, but one of the more interesting moments that I remembered this morning was the Mikel Mandron incident with one of the Sunderland players. I can't remember who it was. Was it Luke O'Neill? When they went down in the box and it looks like they were doing the Karma Sutra and ended up all going all 69 on each other.
Nobody seemed to be watching. All of a sudden, there's a lot of people going, what's going on there? Not on the goal line, rolling around. Like you say, they're acting out parts of the Karma Sutra. That's the only way we really can explain it.
It was just a very odd incident.
You wouldn't be underneath Mikel Mandron, would you? He's a big lad.
No. But it was just like strange. I don't know if they clashed at a corner and... Like both fell on each other, but then they
in that position,
but then they both kind of almost was like spinning around on each other.
I mean, they both get up like nothing's happened, just like brush it off.
I think I saw the goalkeeper indicate like an elbow had been used by Mandron.
Yeah, but like, it's probably just falling.
It's falling, isn't it? But Sunderland.
Well, speaking of Mandron, what a miss!
Yeah,
I mean, I've watched it back a couple of times now. I think I don't know if you or Matt called it perfectly. He said he almost hits it too cleanly.
Yeah, Matt said that, didn't he?
If it hits him,
and then it just goes in, don't it? But sometimes with them, when you try to connect with it, a ball at that pace, you know, you end up skying it. It's not as bad as what you said to me in the ground,
the Adam Barrett one had no pace
either, and he just got underneath that, whereas the ball was fizzed in by Hanlon, who played well yet again.
Yeah, very good again. If Ogilvy hadn't scored a goal, I think Hannah would have probably got our man in a match and probably would have got one in the ground as well.
Yeah, and just going on to other Jules news, because it's been a while since we've done our last pod. Our last pod was about FA Cup memories, and the third round draw saw us West Ham at home.
Yeah, after a very good performance last week against Doncaster, probably made a lot of people more confident going into yesterday's game. We were totally outclassed them last week. After the Wimbledon game, obviously we had to bounce back, and we were really, really good. It could have been 4 or 5 easily. They were poor, similar to Sunderland yesterday, when we could have been 2 up at half time, couldn't we?
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. And have you managed to change your shift at work so you can go yet?
Not yet, but I am on it.
So you're actually going to go? Because we've been speaking about it and you've said about you might not go.
I'm just not going to get any sleep if I go, but I'm going to try and stop it.
Yeah, but just think of the scenes when we beat West Ham.
Yeah, but just think of me falling asleep at work again.
Yeah, doesn't matter. You've not got any previous incidents with work, have you?
No, not football related or after football related, no.
It's fine. How often do you play West Ham in the Cup?
I kind of wish we had someone bigger.
Well, considering the teams that were left when we got drawn out, that was the biggest team there was.
Yeah.
Going into the last few, there's only Arsenal and West Ham Premier League teams, and that was it.
Definitely wouldn't have minded Arsenal away.
Yeah, and I think the West Ham being drawn out and then the kind of people wanting tickets, and that was summed up pretty well with Scoop's latest video.
Oh, I love Scoop's.
Who I think summed it up perfectly with the everyone moaning about Evans and the boycott, and then video goes on and he ends up tearing his shirt, which is an impressive feat, by the way, Scoops, to reveal "In Evans We Trust" underneath it. And I've noticed yesterday that he made it into a little gif, that bit as well. Yeah. So fair play to Scoops. Right, anyway, Boz, before we move on, as we've been recording, we've had a very breaking news transfer rumour. So we're going to stop it there. We're going to get the message up. We're going to come back with the Dutch transfer rumour.
After a short commercial break.
Yeah, after this short commercial break. Discuss our footballing trips. Discuss a few more. And we're going to pause it there.
Yep.
We have left you wanting more this week. More from us in a bit. Okay, so we are back and we needed to stop and compose ourselves for good reason, because this latest story is literally 4 messages long.
Considering that we've both just read the odd line and we've sat here giggling, I hope this is genuine after what I've read.
Right, so our latest Dutch transfer rumour. Mrs. G was shopping at Brent Cross yesterday and left River Island without paying for several nice tops and new clutch bag. She was apprehended by the store detective and held whilst the police were called. As they waited, they got chatting, and it turns out that the store detective is Barry Fuller's Auntie Violet.
She gets around.
She does get around. She said there are no plans for a January clear out, contrary to rumours on Al Jazeera last week. Max Amor. You're
right. Oh, the only time you'll ever say that phrase on this podcast.
Max Amar and Regan Charles Cook have buried the hatchet over their year-long feud. Turns out they were both right after all. John Nettles was in Bergerac and Midsummer Murders. Auntie Violet also confirmed the secret to Barry's recent run of fine form, which has seen him recognised as the first name on the team sheet. He was at his kid's summer fair back in August and became obsessed with the Zolta I Tell Your Fortune machine. He spent almost £3 on it and only stopped when the hooker duck man refused to break a £50 note for 10p pieces. Barry kicked the machine in anger and a 10p rolled out of the coin return slot. He licked it for luck and put it in again. The fortune printed out read, "Time is something you now don't lack. Others age forward, you age back." Since then, he has been getting a day younger every 24 hours, and it's showing in his renewed vigour on the pitch. Steve Evans is delighted, but has vowed to sell him before he becomes a stroppy-arsed teenager again. And in case you are wondering, yes, it's the same fairground machine that saw Niall Nosworthy swap bodies with his dad back in the late 90s. Mrs. G was released without charge because she's in the same Masonic lodge as the local police chief. The end.
Okay.
what are your thoughts on that?
It's a lot to take in, isn't it?
Well summarised.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you make of that?
I like it. It's a good little story.
I mean, there's a few things we haven't mentioned before, like...
Ultra Zero.
Zero.
And Hooker Duck.
John Nettles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, thank you, Dutch. No, we enjoyed
I
it.
I do look forward to that.
Yeah, it came in just at the right time as well.
It was literally breaking news.
Literally, as we was recording, it came in. So we put the pod on pause, regrouped, and went again.
Yes, we did.
Right.
We were back stronger.
Exactly. Shall we move on to this week's topic then?
Go for it.
So, the topic theme this week was football trips abroad.
Reason for that, yeah. Yep. What's the reason?
Yeah, we've been on a few. I've just come back from one myself, which will be discussed later. So, where do you want to start, Boz?
Do you want to start with ours before we move on to Twitter?
Okay. What do you want to start with?
Obviously, we've done a couple. Just one that I'm not even sure you know about. Years ago, when I was about 11 or 12,
we've done a couple and then...
Yeah, but this is one that you don't know about.
So this is one that you've done without me, just to clarify. Yeah, it kind of sounds like I was there, but don't remember.
No, you weren't there.
No.
I went to Cyprus on a family holiday and I went to watch Limassol FC.
I've never even heard of them, I don't think.
They were just the local tired at the time. The game was 0-0, I don't know who they played. It was not good. But, yeah, that was at the time all I knew other English football was Scottish, so it was like, oh, Cyprus, that's new.
So, have you been to a Scottish game? I know you've been to a few stadiums up there.
I've been to Celtic and Rangers and Hampden, but I haven't seen a game, no. But, yeah, for some reason I've seen one in Cyprus.
As you do.
It wasn't very expensive either, luckily.
Yeah, I'm not too surprised. I can't expect the quality to be that good.
It definitely wasn't great.
And that was when you was 11, so like 20-odd years ago. Yeah. Can't imagine the standard of
the fact that even then I thought this is rubbish.
And not long after that, you start going to Jules, so...
Yeah, it was only a couple of years after that, yeah.
Yeah.
How times change.
Exactly. So we went on a kind of Christmas...
So it's coming to the anniversary, isn't it, about now?
Yeah, I think it was a bit closer to Christmas, wasn't it? About 19th, 20th around, because it was near your birthday, I think, as well. A few years ago, five of us went to Barcelona to watch them play in the version of their League Cup, was it?
It wasn't the Copa del Rey, was it?
It was the
other one.
Copa del Rey, yeah. And they played
a team
who I believe was SD Huesca, something like that.
Yes, I think you're spot on. Yeah.
And... it was over two legs, so the first leg was Barca was away, and I think they won 4 or 5-0.
They'd won comfortable, yeah.
And then we then thought, right, our trip is just going to be watching Barca's kids,
quite a few first teams, weren't there?
From what I remember, it was Iniesta that played, he's the captain.
And I remember Pedro being outrageous.
Yeah, and who's the, was it Ter Stegen? He was in goal, I believe.
I don't think he was Ter Stegen, was it? I thought that was it a little bit before Ter Stegen?
I think whoever the keeper was, I think they've gone on to have a decent career, whoever it...
Wasn't that Chilison, was it? The Dutch keeper,
I don't know. But even though it was a second-string Barca team, it was just absolutely...
It was one-way traffic.
It was absolutely amazing to watch. Didn't I tell you, because you put a bet on the game...
Didn't I
say something that if Huesca or whatever their name was scored, because there was a way they got double the goals?
Sounds about right. Because I wouldn't have done my research.
I tried convincing you that as a rule of the Spanish League Cup. And I think you went to... I think you near enough bought it.
Yeah, I don't think I quite went with it, but I think there was a time when I considered
you
it.
You questioned it, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just absolutely an amazing trip. The Camp Nou was something else. And when we'd done the stadium tour there...
That was brilliant. Because most stadium tours, you get walked around, don't you? And there's someone talking to you. Barcelona one, you just do it as you please. You walk around at your own leisure.
And just some of the stuff they've got there, like the kind of section in regards to Messi. And like,
yeah, like his, a shrine.
Yeah, shrine, his golden balls on display. And then you've got like all the video sections where you can watch back previous players, previous games.
Yeah, we watched... it was a room, wasn't there, where they kept replaying like old European games.
Yeah.
And we watched like Patrick Cliver, Ronaldinho, and... we were at hours, weren't we?
Yeah, we could have spent longer there, to be fair, as well. Like, there's even, like, players that we kind of forgot had played for Barca as well. Like
the Angermars, the De Boers.
Yeah, like Lineker.
Yeah, I forgot all about him. Bobby Robson, obviously Jose was there at one point.
Yeah, and then Bobby Robson was the manager. There's a few other kind of English Premier League connections to Barca as well, where you'd kind of forget that they've been there until you're in that room looking back at stuff. But it's a trip that I want to make again and probably see a more high profile game.
Yeah, and we now have connections because Reece and James go quite a bit, don't they?
Yeah, where do they get their tickets then?
I don't know, but it might be an idea to tap them up.
I mean, I think they just order it off the internet. I don't think they've got a source.
Do you remember what else happened to that game?
You fell asleep.
I did fall asleep, yeah.
Yeah.
At 7-0.
Something like that.
Almost missed, I think I did miss the last goal.
Yeah, so the final score ended up something like, was it 9?
Eight, I'm sure it was 8.
No, 9, I thought.
Was it?
Pretty sure,
maybe I missed 2.
Pretty sure it was 9-1.
I may have missed 2 goals.
Yeah. Yeah, why am I asking your opinion when you're asleep?
I'm not just genuinely that lazy. I had done a night shift and not slept, and we had been there all day.
You did go to the airport dressed like an elephant as well.
I did, didn't I? I had these horrible baggy grey shorts on, didn't I? Grey hoodie. That's literally all I took on holiday, I think, and a couple of T-shirts.
Sounds about right for you.
Yeah. That was a good trip.
We ended up... Did we stay in, like...
It was like a hostel.
Yeah, that was weird. And you watched me, like, get changed out of the shower, which was...
There was also a bed got broke that weekend.
Yeah, let's just go back to that story. So, I got out of the shower and went into the room where my clothes were.
There was two rooms, wasn't there?
Yeah.
There was, like, 5 of us in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't very big rooms, they literally just had beds in, that was it.
So I was standing in with a towel wrapped around me, waiting for you to vacate the room so I could get changed.
For some reason I didn't take the hint.
You wasn't leaving. So then I started doing the trick you do when you're on the beach and you need to put your undergarments back on, is you pull them up over the towel, under the towel. You then looked at me and started criticising me for doing this.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you won't fucking leave the room.
I was lonely.
You then left the room, but then returned about 20 seconds later, as if I was going to get changed in that time.
Well, you done yet?
You wanted a peek, didn't you?
I've had more than a peek since we've been here.
So, all in all, a good trip.
Yeah, it was good. Also, that trip...
Hang on, just to stop there. One thing you didn't like was... the Spanish sausage.
Oh, it was horrible.
Was it ham or sausage? Or was it bacon?
It came out and it was like...
Oh, it was meant to be cheese and ham, yeah, and it was like salami. And you didn't eat it.
Did you eat that?
Oh, probably.
You tend to do that. We go to places and if I don't eat it or drink it, you do it for me.
I'm like Nunu off the Teletubbies.
But if it's free, you're going to have it.
So oh, yeah.
If it's going spare.
Tastes better.
Yeah.
Tastes better when it's free. Go on, what was you going to say?
One of our mates couldn't come back here, could he?
No.
It's a bit short notice for him, he's busy at work. So what did we do?
We took a blow-up doll.
Dressed it up like him.
Yeah.
And carried it around Spain for 2 days.
Yeah, we didn't take it in the ground, though.
No, the waiters loved it, didn't they?
Yeah, we ended up just abandoning it in the town centre,
I think. Yeah, I think so. It came on a tube with us, didn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, all in all, that was a good trip. And then, was it... 2-3 years ago now, we went to Dortmund.
I think it's coming up to 3. I think it'll be 3 in April.
It sounds about right, doesn't it?
Definitely a trip I want to do again.
Yeah, so we went there for Mr. Jill's in the Blood stag do. And for him it got off to a bad start, being given this...
Oh, yeah.
What is it? Like air hostess uniform that left a lot to the imagination. It's very short.
Extremely short.
Yeah. And he had to do some horrific things that weekend. Did he?
He did them all though, didn't he?
He drank this horrible looking.
It had that egg in it.
Egg thing. It was. It. I don't know how he done it.
It was that bad. The barmaid brought a bucket over before he'd even looked at it.
Yeah, it was just absolutely.
But he did it, and he didn't bring it up again.
Yeah. Did he drink out of a shoe that weekend as well?
He drank out of his own shoe. And at one point, I think me and you were singing Oasis because it was like karaoke. And he just passed me his jeans and went, "Hold them." I turned around, he's just in his t-shirt and pants. And he was just like having a normal chat with people.
That was a bit of a weird weekend because it was over Easter, wasn't it? And we didn't realise that they pretty much close everything over the Easter period. So
yeah, so we found, it was the same bar, wasn't it? Two nights from the, did we go in the same bar?
No, we didn't go to the same bar, different.
One of the nights we stayed in the hotel, didn't we? Was that a night of the game?
Possibly.
And we had a few drinks there. That was a funny night as well. But yeah, the actual game itself was really, the atmosphere was outrageous, wasn't it?
Yeah, so like just walking to the ground and then we had decent seats to be fair, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then looking at the yellow wall, it just looked absolutely amazing and surreal. And
I think it's one of them, once you're in, you ain't getting out. You can't get out for a wee, you know, or for a drink. You're just there to the end.
And you found some food that you liked there as well.
Did, bratwurst.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff, wasn't it?
Bloody nice. We had two of them, didn't we?
I think we did, yeah.
You treated us to a scarf, which I've still got. I've still got it upstairs.
You still wear yours, don't
you? Yeah, from time to time, wear it, yeah. The only problem is I can't wear it around Maidstone.
No, it's probably not.
Because then it looks like a Maidstone scarf. Yeah. Which isn't good.
Yeah, the thing that surprised me that day was that there's away fans in with the home fans. Because we don't do that over here. The guy at the end of our row, wasn't it? We couldn't understand why he was cheering when the other team scored.
So, I can't remember who they played.
Freiburg?
Maybe.
I feel like it was SC Freiburg.
Okay. I know the score's 3-1.
Yeah, Marco Royce played. Usman Dembele played. Yeah. Socrates played and scored a belter, didn't he?
Mm.
They have a goalkeeper, I think, Wider the fella. Lucas Piszczek. Subotic as well. Mark Bartra, I think, had just had the thing in the Champions League.
Yeah, with the terrorist bomb going off.
That was literally days before we went out, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, what an experience. I think it's like Gundogan then.
Yeah, possibly. But yeah, the atmosphere was.
And all the fans were really welcome, weren't they?
Yeah.
Like outside and around the ground, people playing football.
We took a football, didn't we? I can't remember who bought a football, and then we ended up like just basically kicking it between us on the walk to the ground.
Yeah.
And then some Dortmund fans tried basically nicking it off us, which didn't work.
Oh, that was outside the ground. That was outside the ground. I didn't want to give the ball back, yeah.
Yeah, and I had to go chasing after
it. You did. Like a puppy.
Yeah. That sounds about right. I had that. It was like. Not like a, it's kind of like a beer garden. Remember, like a fan zone, that's what I'm trying to say.
Mad, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It took a while to get a drink, but then it was
That was a good atmosphere in there. And there was like all different, you know, like supporters clubs from like England and other places.
We
met a
guy, didn't we, the day after?
Yeah.
A guy who's the head of the English or British Dortmund fan club.
Yeah, we got a picture of him, didn't we, with that massive flag.
Yeah, what a trip though. Not just the stag do, which was bloody good as well.
Yeah.
I mean, watching you sit on the floor picking your phone up after dropping it for like the fourth time and it was in pieces.
Oh, absolutely right.
Me, you and Matt going on a trek to try and find a McDonald's at like 4 a.m.
Yeah, didn't you?
Finally found one and I went, yeah, I'll get it, Matt. It's your stag do. I've never seen him eat so much in my life.
He had like 30 chicken nuggets or something
and
like that, didn't he?
A couple of burgers and chips and a drink and he had a lot.
He put it away.
Yeah. When he passed out on the bed, as soon as he got back, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, because we shared a room, me, you and Matt, didn't we? That was funny.
Yeah, you bloody barricaded me when I was having a shower. Come out like full on the mattress.
The mattress was against the door. Hid in the cupboard.
Standard again.
I remember. Do you remember that? Like, there was like a little park area as well when we was out.
Yes.
And then
I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, on the swings. And then I'd
go proper man.
I jumped off stupidly, like after a few drinks.
Break a bone.
And I just landed with a massive thud on the floor. Oh, that was completely ridiculous. But we've done the stadium tour there as well, didn't we? The only problem was it was a German.
he understood a bit of English, didn't he? Because Jules played Bristol Rovers that day, Cody McDonald's last goals.
Yes.
And we were keeping up with school while we were doing the tour. And we were talking to the guy, weren't we? And how much was it for a season ticket, bearing in mind our Champions League team?
I don't even know.
I think it was €100.
Yeah, something
in that
like
yellow
that.
Wall. And when we told him that we paid close to £400 a season, he went, Premier League, next league, and you pay this money?
Yeah.
He couldn't believe it. That's mental, wasn't it? Like, hearing about the German fans are welcoming, the atmosphere was crazy.
Yeah, even when we'd done the stadium tour, though, like, just, even though there was no one in there.
As well, didn't they?
Yeah.
While we were in there,
It was just, like, mad.
Yeah, really, really good trip. Definitely want to do it again.
And they've got like a jail in the stadium as well.
Yeah.
For like any hooliganism.
That's where we were when Cody McDonald scored.
Yeah.
Because we could have the only place we'd get a signal, I think.
In the jail.
Yeah.
Where you wouldn't be allowed a phone. Ironic. But I don't remember seeing like trophies or anything. Like with Barca, I remember seeing all the trophies.
Was there a museum? Did we not go in the museum?
I can't remember. Oh, we went to a football museum there.
We did.
That was really good.
We had a game of football in there.
That was.
What about that? That was really good.
That was really good. That was just a general German.
Euros, yeah, that was really good.
Just general German football museum, and had like all sorts from the national team, and that had different interactive bits where you could vote whether the
ball crossed the line in 66.
Yeah, which we voted.
It was very lopsided, wasn't it? But we spent about an hour pressing the button and it didn't really matter.
And it changed it by about 1%. So, and then they had like this little football pitch thing there and football speed agility.
Races, I think, on that.
Yeah. So, a very good trip overall.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That was really good,
Shall we move on to some of the Twitter ones, and then me and Rachel will talk about Munich later, as well as the comments on Facebook.
We do have a cracking one on Twitter, don't we?
Go on then, I'll let you read it.
Yeah, so we've got two from Jay Wilson. First one says, Wrexham away 2000. I was into throwing confetti in the air when the players came out. Short version, I had a mixture of newspaper and an old porno mag ripped up in a bag. Threw it in the air afterwards, and it's a tit on the guy's shoulder in front of me. I love that. Joe's also come up with another one. Another trip, this time to France to watch a friendly against Lyon, maybe. Absolutely hammered it down, and on return to preschool later that night, my car was locked in the stadium car park, so I climbed the big blue gates and slept in the car.
As you do.
Twitter-wise, I think that was all we had. We had another one from Shrey.
Yeah, he wasn't too sure.
He's just put, big fan of a Danny Spiller pie.
I don't know if
we've missed something there.
Yeah, I don't know if, because in the tweet, what did we say? We said something about footballing. We want to hear about your experiences and recommendations. So I think that's why he said that.
Okay.
That's what we're due to meet him soon, so maybe we can ask him in person. We actually went on one of them pre-season trips, didn't we? Jules?
Really?
Yeah, to France.
Oh, I didn't.
Wasn't you there?
No.
Well, when we took on, wasn't it someone like the United Arab Emirates?
Yeah, I didn't go.
Oh, you didn't go?
No, you went with Spence and Bond, I think.
Yeah, and there's a few of us there.
Yeah, no, I think that was when I was a casual fan then.
No, you would have been a proper fan then. If I went with them, I don't know, maybe you were busy.
I didn't go.
But yeah, got a picture of me and Brent Sancho.
What a man he was.
On the cruise. I think this was the summer after the World Cup, so I think it wasn't long after he had his dreadlocks pulled by Peter Crouch. But yeah, that was a ground like in the middle of nowhere, but it was a nice baking hot day and it was nice to watch the Jules abroad. So, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So, Boz, you can go to bed.
Well, hey. Thank you. Good night. God bless.
And I will be back later on with Rachel to talk about Munich, as well as more of the comments from other fans on the Facebook page. See you then. Welcome back, Jules fans. As you can tell, I have found out a new feature on the pod and a nice bit of interval music. joined for the second part by Rachel.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
What did you make of the interval music that I played you? I composed it myself.
Did you? Wow, that's impressive. Very grown up, serious.
Yeah, so we're going to start frying them in now. There's plenty to choose from.
Is the pod turning serious? Because I wasn't told that before I turned up.
Oh, it has been a relatively serious one, but, you know, we've had our moments.
I'll just fast forward from that bit.
Oh, thanks. Right, before we start talking about the topic and about Munich that we went to last week, a couple of questions for you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm prepared.
Spanish Inquisition.
No, Munich and Germany.
Oh, yeah.
Right, one, what do you make of Christmas headquarters?
I'm quite happy about the fact that the lights aren't going at it like some 90s rave, like the picture that Boz sent the other day, which kind of, I thought that when I turned up I would end up collapsed in a floor just having a seizure. But yeah, it's very nice. I added some baubles to the tree. I was invited to. I didn't just like bring...
To be honest, when you said that, I'd forgot that I'd
I didn't bring my own decorations and say, I've come to improve your tree. It's very nice. It's lovely. And it's and we're sitting here at the moment with the lights off. Well, the main lights off and the tree lights on. And it's very ambient and romantic, dare I say.
Well, there you go. Picture the St. Jill's fans. Second question I've got is your thoughts on yesterday.
Yesterday, I really enjoyed it. It's quite strange. It feels like it's been ages since I watched the Jills because I didn't go to
Wimbledon away,
Donny at home, or Sunderland at home in the Cup. So it does feel like a while. And
Lincoln at home, your last game must have been. Then. Yeah, I think that's starting November.
It just feels strange to come out feeling happy and celebrating a goal and thinking, yeah, we deserve to win that, and not going to work on Monday and saying, yeah, we're shit, aren't we? So that would be nice.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. I was really impressed. I was gutted when they had the ball in the back of the net, but obviously delighted when it got disallowed, because we deserve to win. And Sunderland are awful this season. I mean, if you look at last season's game, which, although we lost, was a really enjoyable game, and we played well, and Sunderland were out of this world amazing, and this year there's just like a shadow of their former selves.
Agree. Me and Boz spoke earlier on about an incident in the game, I don't know if you noticed it, when Mandron and one of the Sunderland players, we think it was Luke O'Neill, was having a bit of to and fro on the floor, and it looks a bit sexual.
Did you see that? I did, yes. Yeah. Was that Flanagan?
I don't know who, I can't remember.
I think it might
have
been, because I said, oh, he used to play for us, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like we were kind of, you know,
spinning around on each other and everything.
Yeah, I mean, that almost beats the moment where Barry Fuller had his arse cheek out for about 20 seconds.
Well, yesterday?
Yeah.
When was that?
Did you not see this?
Oh, I didn't see that. When did that happen?
Yeah, he was... it gone out for a throw, and he had his short had kind of gone right up his leg. And he obviously didn't notice, and we were quite disappointed when it went back down. And that was like the second arse cheek I'd seen in the day, because a good friend of mine, Pip, decided to show us his Gillingham tattoo in the pub beforehand, which was rather disturbing. I can't remember who it was. It was some old Jules player I've never heard of, because he's quite old. So, yeah, two rather different experiences.
Yeah, exactly. Right, moving on then, the topic. The topic this week was about footballing trips abroad, and we went to Munich last week. So
yeah, we did.
I'll let you talk everyone through what you liked, what was good, how Munich was.
What, the whole holiday or just
the
football?
Just the football. We'll keep it at just the football.
Yeah, you don't want to know
about... They don't want to know about us walking around Olympic Park frying a snowboarder crow.
Yeah, that was you. That wasn't me.
Yeah, you filmed it.
Yeah, it is. Oh, we had a lovely time at the Christmas market.
Yes.
And one of us was walking around getting very excited every time they saw a sausage stand.
Breakfast.
I'll give you a top tip. Top tip. That wasn't me.
No.
Yeah, well, like, I'm sort of... There's a lot of German people in Munich. And they don't like... they all speak German,
yeah.
And they're very enthusiastic about it. So when we were on the train on the way to the stadium, they were just so excited, these fans, and they were like looking us in the eye, just going, and we're like, yeah, we don't know what you're saying, but yeah,
just nodding
with
politely.
You. We're just like, yeah, okay. So they were really enthusiastic, and you know, it's a bit of a kind of walk over this sort of wasteland to get to the ground, but it's really exciting. The Coca-Cola lorry there, which I don't think they would have every home game.
No.
And it's all lit up, and it's very nice. And then you see all the Bayern Munich fans going in with their little seat cushion, which I was...
I forgot to mention to anyone about that, actually.
I was a bit confused about that at first, because I said, what's that? Is that for kneeling on when they're praying? So they got their kneeling prayer cushions.
But when they're carrying it, because it's a padded cushion that folds up, but so when they're holding it, it looks like either a little briefcase or a little lunchbox, don't it? But everyone's walking around.
So many of them, and every single woman, apart from me, there... had a blanket with them,
yes.
And I wish I'd brought a blanket, because it was freezing. But yeah, it was brilliant. It was very exciting. It was just an unreal atmosphere. I mean, you could see it down in the terrace bit. I was very impressed with their drummer and their conducting person. And yeah, it was brilliant. I mean, we obviously put a curse on them because they lost.
And lost yesterday.
They did,
as well.
Yeah. And I mean, they had so many chances. To demolish Bayer Leverkusen, but they just didn't. But it was amazing to see. It was so exciting. It was just a different level to what we're used to, really.
Yeah.
And the view was amazing, and we had a very excited German man behind us.
Oh, yeah.
Shouting.
He was going mad, wasn't he?
I don't know anything that he was saying.
It was quite entertaining.
It was very entertaining. It was brilliant.
One thing that I noticed, and I've said to quite a few people, and I don't remember it happening at Dortmund, and it might be something that I need to ask Boz about, was how quick the ball came back in.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was like, this is unreal.
Like, literally, a shot went at goal and it went into the crowd, and we was looking at where it landed, and the game had started again, because the ball, they literally throw it on as soon as it goes off.
Yeah, and I love the fact that when the goalie's going to take a goal kick, he just takes it.
Yeah.
He don't just stand around for 5 minutes and, so, you know, it's like... It was so quick, and that is kind of one of the first things I noticed and commented on. I was like, I love this. It's just so quick-paced, free-flowing. They don't seem to spend a lot of time rolling around on the floor. They did in the second half.
Mm.
But, and it's one of the things that annoys me about modern football is VAR. I hate it with a passion because of the fact it slows down games. I cannot stand stop-start play. I just want it to flow. And that was perfect for it, really. It was good. Very entertaining.
Good. Well, summarised.
Yeah.
Obviously, Lewandowski didn't score, which...
which you said he would.
I said he would. I called it for weeks. He's been on this massive scoring run and scored in pretty much every game. Sometimes, I think the Champions League... I don't know if it was the week leading up to it or the week before, he scored like four goals in a game and then he couldn't hit a barn door.
No, he couldn't. No.
But a good
trip... He was nervous because we were watching him.
Yeah, that was it. One that I definitely want to go back and do again.
Yeah, it's amazing.
We were just speaking before we started recording, and I asked if you'd like done any others, and you hadn't been on the Jules pre-season like friendly tours or anything like that. So is there any countries that you want to go to watch football games, any that you want to tick off the list?
Oh, I want to do them all. Yeah, I mean, I've done the Barcelona stadium tour. I have been to Madrid and had tickets for an Atletico Madrid game. However, the people I was with, we ended up getting very drunk and it was raining, so we didn't go to the game, which was quite disappointing, really, and I'm quite ashamed of myself for that. Yeah, I know. But I've got an idea it was 0-0 or 1-1 or something, so it wasn't that much of a loss. But, and I remember going to the Real Stadium as well and having a drink in the bar, obviously, and just thinking, wow, this looks amazing. But... Yeah, I don't know. I'd love to do them all.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, when we recorded our bit with Boz earlier, he remembered that when he was 11, he went to watch a Cypriot league game.
Wow.
And it was, I think he said
repressed memory, was it?
Yeah.
I've been to the Icelandic National Stadium. There was no game on. I just had a look.
Just went there.
Nice view. You could see all the mountains and things like that.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Interesting story.
Yeah. Right, so we've got a few Facebook ones to read out, and then that's us done for this pod. It's been quite a good one, I think. Right, I'll let you do some reading, because Boz don't normally read.
I'm not used to this level of intellect, clearly. Okay, so what do I do? Just read it?
You literally just read it out, yeah. Say who.
Can I paraphrase? Because some of it's a bit... Yeah. Okay.
If you want.
Right, so Luke Naylor has been lucky enough to do two of these. The first trip was to see Atletico Madrid versus Malaga in October 2016. The game finished 4-2 to... What does that say?
Atleti,
is that what the
yeah,
ultras call them? In the old Vicente Calderon Stadium before they moved. A great game that had everything, including sendings off. Jan Oblak being lobbed and some wonder goals. Highly recommend the tour of the Bernabeu also. The second game was in 2017 and he got to see the Milan derby with Inter being the home team. Best atmosphere he's ever seen at a game. Even eclipses our games against Millwall. The game finished 3-2 with... I can't read that.
Mauro Icardi
getting a hat-trick and scoring the winner in the 89th minute. Again, the San Siro tour is a fantastic experience, but Luke would recommend getting the Metro back because taxis are a two-hour-plus wait after the game and just not worth the chasing after for three blocks, as we found out.
No. What we found out in Germany was we... You can buy a train ticket, but no one ever checks it.
Yeah, we just didn't bother in the end. Did we? Shh, don't tell the police.
We've got a warrant out for our arrest. Mark Green, whilst on holiday in Florida, I'll start again. Whilst on holiday in Florida in the early 90s, my parents took us to see a Tampa Bay Rowdies match. This was well before MLS. I kid you not, the PA played crashing glass sound effects when players headed the ball clear.
Yeah, see, in the early 90s, my parents. I can't speak. In the early 90s, my parents took me to Florida and we went to Disney World. I think I had the better time.
Yeah. Mark Green also had managed to get to the San Siro to see Inter versus Saint Etienne in the Europa League a few years ago as I was working in Milan for the week. It's pretty beat up and in a really rough area of the city, but the atmosphere was great with the flares and fireworks being set off. Barca also good, but spoiled by the fact Messi didn't play and it was 0-0. Best for overall, though, is England away in Porto this summer. 72 hours non-stop drinking, singing A Great City, cracking except for the result versus Holland.
Lovely. Nathan J. Bolton went with a friend to Cologne and took in three games in 4 days. Went to the Rhein Energy Stadium to see FC Köln. Is that what they're called?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh. In the Bundesliga, then MSV Duisburg at home against Hansa Rostock. This was then in the third division, 20,000 there, including 2,000 away fans. A bit like our game yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
1,500 Sunderland fans and only about 4,000 attendance. It's disappeared. Ticket was €8 or €9 and the atmosphere was incredible. Then saw a regional league game taking in Rot-Weiss Oberhausen, who at one point got as high as the second division before falling away. That part of Germany loves its football. He's also seen Victoria Köln before... against, I want to say, the Stuttgart Kickers. There are, of course, B teams in the lower regional leagues in Germany. Dortmund.
Two.
The two, not Dortmund the second.
Not Dortmund II.
Dortmund II.
Next one, Christopher Allen. I've been very lucky and been to a fair few games abroad. I've seen Barcelona twice, first game against Valencia in 2015, where Lionel Messi scored his 400th goal for Barcelona with one of his worst. He tried chipping the keeper, but failed, but luckily...
No, he tried chilling the keeper.
Yeah, I know, but I'm actually writing what he was... reading what he was meant to say. He tried chipping the keeper, but failed, but luckily he got the rebound. I then went out solo to watch a Champions League game in September that year against Bayer Leverkusen and saw Suarez score a screamer. In August 2016, I also went to Glasgow and saw two Scottish Cup games in consecutive nights when I saw Celtic win 5-0 and then Rangers win 5-0 the next night. I walked out after 75 minutes of both, as they were both 5-0 up well before that time. Also been to Roma's last home game of the 15-16 season against Chievo and saw a young Rudiger score. Salah was playing for them at that point and was very disappointing, and Roma won 3-0. 2017, he went with Luke to the Milan derby and went on a memorable trip to Madrid just to go to the Bernabeu and Atletico's old stadium, both great stadium tours. and just the other week went to Poland's national stadium whilst on a trip to Warsaw. Says he's been very lucky with the football he's seen in Europe and can't wait to add to this list.
Ian Harry Harrison says, bit odd this one, as never actually went to the game but did have a memorable few days. Went over to Calais on a day crossing, booze run, in early 2000, completely unaware that 4th Division stragglers Calais were playing 1st Division Strasbourg in the quarterfinals of the French Cup. Calais were drawn at home, but because their ground was too small, they had to play the game some 50-odd miles away in Lens. The first we knew of this was when the whole place emptied. Presumably most of the population had gone to Lens.
Lens.
I've got a GCSE in French, you know. What happened that afternoon is now French legend. Strasbourg scored first, but Calais won 2-1 after the local sports social worker scored. And then Strasbourg's keeper joined in the spirit of things by letting a free kick from a shop worker drop through his hands. We watched it all on a tiny screen in a bar/cafe on the main drag in Calais, and what followed was carnage. Returning to Calais after the match, the players were welcomed by a chorus of trumpets and thousands of fans. To the locals, this cup run is something of a French version of the Full Monty. Sounds like they should make a film out of it. Needless to say, we didn't get the ferry back that night or the following day either, deciding instead to party with the locals for 2 days instead. Calais actually went on to reach the final, beating Bordeaux in the semis and then losing to FC Nantes, thanks to 2 goals by Antoine Sibierski in front of nearly 80,000 at Stade de France. Not sure I'd recommend going to Calais to watch football, unless it's a pre-season with the Gilles. We just got lucky and very drunk. Actually, that does remind me of one of my very first footballing experiences. And when I was 7, we went to Legoland in Denmark. And that was in 1992. And as you know, legend goes that Denmark won the European Championships in 1992. And we happened to be on the boat back while the final was happening. So we watched the final with a bunch of Danish people who were very excited and celebrating. And we were up, I mean, I was 7 and I was up ridiculously late dancing with a bunch of Danish people. It was amazing. And they were just so excited. Amazing.
And the last one from Dave Gay, who said, when I was based in Gibraltar back in 82-84, I often watched Spanish football either in Malaga or in Sevilla, as both were in the top Spanish league at the time. Even rode my bike end of my tour to Madrid to watch Atletico before boarding the ferry from Santander to Plymouth. Living now in Germany, have seen a lot of football over the past 30 years. And Dave also added in a later comment asking about our trip to Munich and said, did you realise that your presence stopped the goal machine Lewandowski and made the Bundesliga more open? Well done, you two.
Yeah.
And that was prior to them losing yesterday as well.
Yeah, that's to have influence, isn't it?
Yeah. Right, so that's all of the comments. So thanks for sending them in. Much appreciated. Last thing we normally talk about is naming the frame. But we haven't even replaced name in the frame yet.
I did realise this on my way here, actually, because I know that my choice, Chris Hope, won last time.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, shit, I should have printed out a picture of Chris Hope at work on Friday. But I was far too busy doing my daughter's homework and printing out pictures of Olaf the Snowman and various other things. And making it look just a little bit shit so that they don't realise I've, you know, helped her with it. So sorry about that.
Is that your job tomorrow?
Print out a picture of Chris Hope.
Yeah.
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 That is definitely my job tomorrow.
That's what we like to hear.
So in a roundabout way, what I'm saying is I haven't done my homework. Sorry.
So tomorrow, hopefully, we will put a picture up on the Twitter page of Chris Hope finally being on the wall, because Big Mum has been up there too long.
Yeah. And it would be lovely to see his face. I do like Chris Hope.
Of course.
A friend of mine, Tina, who used to come to the Gills quite a lot, but has now defected to Spurs.
Fuck.
Yes. Once made good friends with Chris Hope at a Player of the Year do and said, I want your boots at the end of the season. And at the end of the season, he walked up to her and gave her his boots.
Oh, nice.
And she kept him in a little, what do you call it? Conservatory. What's the thing where you walk into a house and there's a gap and then there's another door? Porch.
Yeah.
And they were filthy and disgusting. But a nice bloke.
Good Chris Hope story.
Yeah, it is. And yeah, we used to call him Flipper because he looks like a dolphin.
I can't see that myself.
He does.
Anyway, that is it from us. I hope you've enjoyed listening to not just myself and the Upgrade Rachel, but also to the Low Life Boz as well. Thanks for all your comments. We'll be back in a few weeks' time with our next topic, which we put on Twitter and on Facebook. So hopefully we get the caption competition and four more names in the frame nominations to choose from as well. And yeah, until next time.
Up the Jills.